How many would agree it's a good thing to stay in the Word and to continually hear the Word of God? We are doing in the home groups, we're doing a practical hands-on manual called Doing What Jesus Did. What we want to avoid as a church is becoming a church that's constantly learning and learning and learning and learning and learning and getting more and more information, but never actually doing. Like James said, we got to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Boy, if God's people will just take what they have, whether it's little or great, and start sharing it. Amen. With others. Not only sharing what you receive, but actually walking it out, living out what God told us to do. Simple obedience to the commands of Jesus. Jesus didn't make it complicated. There are people who will criticize sometimes the basics in the Word of God and the simple things in the Word of God. But often the same people that criticize these things and say, well, we want more, we want meat, we want this, we want that, are not even doing the basics. They have not even learned how to do the basics. In other words, we're constantly learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth that produces results, that produces fruit. How many would agree with me today that we're all to bear fruit?
Yes.
And so there's a time in the classroom, but there's a time that we have to get out of the classroom, amen? We have to get into the marketplace. We need to take what we receive in the classroom and share it in the marketplace. How many know that shepherds don't beget sheep? Sheep beget sheep, right? We need to be on assignment, all of us, in winning souls, reaching out to people, inviting them to church, inviting them to these home groups that are awesome. Opportunities for people to come into a relaxed atmosphere and hang out with some people in an informal way, that to make a connection, to have community, fellowship, an opportunity to open their hearts and share their life, their story. We confess even our faults one to another and pray for one another that we might be healed. And so I want to encourage everyone. I know for some of you it's impossible. Others it may be difficult, but to support these home groups and reach out. Amen. We want to reach out to the lost and to the backslider in our community. And how many know that real church growth is not just shuffling sheep from one building to the next? And so we need to be about our Father's business, and we need to focus on the harvest. We need to focus on people who are lost. And if we will pray and stay open and mindful and listen to the Holy Spirit, He will speak to us and He will show us what to do. He will show you what to do. He will give you what you need to say. Right? You don't have to stress out, worry about it. God will give you what you need to say. Just simply, Lord, say, help me. Give me the words to speak, Lord. Give me the power, you know, that I need. Grant me your grace, Lord, to fulfill your purpose for my life. So we pray, His kingdom come, His will be done on the earth. Last week, we talked about calling on the name of the Lord. And this is life-changing, and it's unfortunately, in too many cases, believers don't practice this. And there are some who just, you know, it's easy to make excuses, you know, isn't it? Why we don't do something. But how many know that God looks right through excuses? He's not buying any excuses. He looks upon the heart, and He knows what we really know and what we really understand. How many believe today that you're responsible for what you understand? You're responsible for what you know.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's also important that you do know. Some people say, well, then I won't just learn. I won't know, so that I'm not responsible. Well, how many know that people perish for lack of knowledge? And to the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, it is to him it is sin. God does not leave us comfortless. He does not leave us alone. He is always with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you go, Jesus is with you. Amen? He's given you His Holy Spirit. The Comforter has come. So that wherever we go, we can be His expression. We can be a vessel that God will work through. And so, it's not something that you have to work up. It's just something that is very supernaturally natural. The natural man is overpowered, overshadowed by the supernatural. Amen? As we yield, as we listen, and then we simply say, okay. How many have come to the place in your life where you're done with yourself?
Oh.
Yeah. See, that's the place we need to be. We need to die. We need to come to the place where we've already resolved that we're in this all the way. That my life is already dead and I'm hidden with Christ. Amen? In God. I'm His. He's mine. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I put my full trust now in the purposes of God to fulfill His purpose for my life, for my future. How many are there? You're ready? Just say, I'm ready, Lord. I'm done. But if you try to save or hang on to your life, folks, that's where you miss it. That's where you lose it. But when you surrender, when you yield to the Lord, it's when you find your life. And you'll find God's life, amen, becomes your strength. He becomes your wisdom. He becomes your ability. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In my weakness is His strength. In my inability is His ability. So we don't have to stress. You don't have to worry. You come into rest. You worship the Lord. Walk in worship. Rest in Him. And then out of a heart that is in communion with Christ, it's not a chore anymore. How many would agree it's not a chore to serve the Lord? Did not Jesus say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Okay. Well, I want to talk today, because we had talked about calling on the name of the Lord, I want to talk about the power of praise today, and I want you to open with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, not Corinthians, Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This is the dedication of Solomon's temple. And there's really three things that I want to point out here that are very important for us to realize. First of all, we praise God because He deserves it. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Praise is communicating who God is, what He's done, and what He can do. And according to Matthew 15 and 8, Jesus says, these people honor me, you know, with their mouths. You know, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So it is actually possible to make a lot of noise and yet really not have a heart that's right with God. Oh, yes. I've been in some noisy situations before where there wasn't a lot happening in the spirit. You got to go home and take an aspirin afterwards, you know. But when the heart is pure, when the heart is right with God, and it's a heart that is in love with Jesus and finds pleasure in bringing pleasure to God, you see, isn't that a relationship? People you love, you want to bring pleasure to. It's quiet in here this morning. Isn't it true that the people we love, we want to bring pleasure to?
Yes. Yes.
We delight in them. And we also desire that they delight in us. How many know that God already delights in you?
Amen.
He first loved us. He loved us so much that He sent Jesus, amen, to die in our place. That's how much. It's not that we were righteous. It's because we needed a Savior that Jesus came. And God so loved you, so loved the world, that He invites us now into fellowship, back into His heart, into His house. And so we come before His presence with singing, according to Psalms 100, right? We enter His gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving produces genuine praise when you start to reflect on the goodness of the Lord. It's when we become unthankful that we quit giving God praise. Think about that. When you receive something good, somebody gives you a gift, you say, "Thank you. You're awesome." When you really are blessed by someone, it's not only a thank you, usually it's some compliment as well. When we're really thankful for God's goodness, when we're really experiencing the goodness of God, when we're really realizing that God is good is not just a cliche, but it's a reality, it's a truth, that boy, we just want to give thanks, and out of a thankful heart, praise is automatic. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thanks and praise go together, you see. Thanksgiving produces praise. Praise brings His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is liberty. There's freedom. So, praise is huge. It's important that we have a heart of praise. Praise is just another element of worship, and it's just another part of it. How many know that praise is not all about, it's not all worship? Worship is your entire being, your entire life. What you do. Amen? Your prayer life is worship. How we live, how we honor God in our giving. How we honor God in the way that we live. It's all worship unto Him. Whatever we do in word and deed, do all to the glory of God, right? In the name of Jesus. And so praise brings His presence. Praise drives out the enemy. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, I want to take a look first at verse 6. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Now, I don't know if you've ever gotten a mental picture of this, but can you imagine a situation where they're sacrificing sheep and oxen to the degree that they couldn't even be counted and numbered for multitude? How many would agree that that is a huge sacrifice? That is definitely. And and what they were doing again, they were dedicating the temple here. So what is this saying is that God is in the sacrifice. God is in the sacrifice. Folks, how many know it was the widow who gave her few mites that got the attention of Jesus? Because she gave out of her lack. God is in any sacrifice that you make. How many sacrifice your time for God? How many are willing to sacrifice your pleasure that you might bring Him pleasure? How many young people here would be willing, if somebody had offered you to go to a really awesome movie, to turn down that movie so that you could be with the people of God to give God praise? That's just a simple illustration or a test, isn't it, of where our heart might be. The first thing, when we come to God, we come to Him with an offering. We come to Him with sacrifice. How many remember the psalm? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. It is our spiritual duty as priests unto the Lord, as New Testament priesthood, a royal priesthood, to offer unto God the fruit of our lips, Hebrews 13:15, giving praise to His name, thanks to His name. And so we sacrifice our time, our agenda, that we might embrace His call, embrace His purpose, embrace God's will for our lives. What you may think and what I may think is a sacrifice is actually a seed. A farmer, if he's wise, will set aside seed from the harvest, right, for the next year. So when we give a sacrifice, he has to sacrifice some of that seed so that he can have a crop next year, something to plant. But if he eats all the seed, if he uses it all up, he's not going to have anything for next year. And so there's a sacrifice, at least initially, or it may feel like it's a sacrifice. But actually, whatever you give to God, you never lose. That's the awesome thing about the kingdom. Whatever you give to God, you don't lose. But if you try to hoard or hang on to that, which God says, I want you to trust me with this, then you'll lose it. The safest place for our soul is in the hands of Jesus. Amen? Our lives belong to Him. So they came with many sacrifices, so many that they couldn't number them. And God paid attention, folks, to Solomon's sacrifice here. In verse 11, it says, it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had then sanctified themselves. The next thing that had to happen was they had to set themselves apart in order to present our bodies, Romans 12, right? Verse 1 and 2, present our bodies to God a living sacrifice. We have to set ourselves aside. We have to remove ourselves from distractions. We have to remove ourselves from lesser things so that we may be in a position to receive greater things. We need to put ourselves in position so that God can bless us. We say, Lord, anoint us for greater things. But He cannot anoint you for greater things unless you're willing to let go of lesser things. There's too much worldliness in the church. Isn't it true? We're just caught up in the consumer mentality of our day. Shop till you drop. There's no U-Haul going to heaven. And so we need to be in a position then that is sanctified or separated unto. We're separated from lesser things, and we're separated certainly from sin, but also from distraction, so that we might be set apart unto God, that we might be in position for Him to use as a vessel. God is calling this church, He's calling you today to come to a place of sanctification in your heart, where I'm through with lesser things. I'm through with vain living. I am consecrating myself. I am giving myself fully to the work of the Lord. And whatever capacity He's called you to, it might be on your job, it might be in the store, wherever God places you, that's your assignment. You need to bloom where you're planted. And so a sacrifice unto God is never lost, folks. When we think, I'm going to be missing out on this if I do this, how many know you never miss out if you obey God? Because God is a good Father. He gives good gifts to His children. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. We can get a snapshot of what God really has there in His hand, just waiting for us to let go of lesser things. Come on. To step over the chicken line, to trust Him fully with your future, with your days, with your life. God, we say that verbally, God, I give you my life, I give you my heart, but then we live as though we haven't. And that's what Jesus was talking about there in Matthew 15. He's saying that, in vain they worship me. You know? He says, they draw near to me with their mouths. And they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So just because a person is noisy and praising doesn't necessarily mean their heart is right, and that is, it is an acceptable sacrifice to God. We must first sanctify ourselves, get ourselves, amen, in position with God. Get in the right position for God to truly bless you. And when you begin to receive because you have obeyed God, then you will become more thankful. And the more thankful you are, the more God can increase you. And the more God increases you, the more you're able to give and bless. Not so we can just say, I've got more. But you get more so you can be a better blessing. Hallelujah. I believe that. So after there was sacrifice and sanctification, then, it says, they began to praise and thank the Lord. Verse 13, and it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music. When they mumbled behind a hymn book. And praise the Lord, saying, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. They made a declaration of truth. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. What was the cloud, folks? The manifest presence of the Lord, the glory of God. So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. I love the presence of the Lord. I love the glory of God. I am a glutton for the glory of God. I need the presence of the Lord. I need to be filled with the power of God. My delight, my joy, my peace, my love, my fulfillment, my contentment is always found in Christ. And when we come together as a people to make sacrifice to God, to sanctify ourselves, and to call on the name of the Lord, and to sing praises to God, and to declare His greatness, declare His glory, reveal His word, hallelujah, that God is pleased. And when God is pleased, He releases His presence. Let it come, Lord. To such a degree, this house was filled with the glory, the cloud, literally the Shekinah glory of God, the manifest presence of God, so that the priests could not even continue ministering because of the cloud. Folks, that's what I want to see here. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. I want to start out the year of 2012 with another 21-day Daniel fast. Time of fasting and consecration. And we're going to talk about that more. And I believe that we need to do this. I want to start out the year on the right track. We want to see, how many want to see the glory of God? Hallelujah. We need the presence of the Lord. We need the glory of God because you and I have been given an assignment. And we cannot do it, amen, without the presence, without the anointing, without you and I coming together and being filled with the presence of God. There is a special blessing, folks, when you and I are corporately together and in unity. Amen? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I find that fasting and prayer, amen, it breaks down walls, it breaks down things, hindrances. And it brings us all together. And I'm believing for a harvest this coming year. I'm believing for many souls to come into the kingdom. I am believing that we're going to see backsliders restored. We're going to see Christians that have been hurt. Christians that have been on the shelf. Christians that have been sitting at home because they got hurt in church. They're going to get off the shelf. God's going to pull them off the shelf. He's going to blow on them. And that ember is going to fan into flame. Hallelujah. He did you.
He did me.
In this coming year, we're going to contend, amen, for that, that God will move in a mighty way in this city. How many know this is the heart of God, folks? It's about the harvest. Praise ushers in the glory of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you move over to chapter 20, praise also brings God's deliverance. It brings His delivering power. Chapter 20, verse 12. Moab, Ammon, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they had a conspiracy against Judah, God's people. But in this case, we see that it was through praise, through a song, that victory came. And in verse 3, it says that Jehoshaphat feared when he heard word of the attack of the enemy. And he set himself to seek the Lord. How many know that the best thing to do when you're fearful is to seek the Lord? Not go to a counselor and fret or worry or stress or, you know, get ulcers. But it's time to seek the Lord. How many know that in His presence there's no stress? In His presence there is such love. And the love of God, the comfort of God is so great that He can comfort. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is able to absolutely set you free. Do you believe that? You see, a lot of Christians, we say we believe that, but the first thing that we do is we run to somebody, especially, what really blows me away is that they run to the world. They run to secular psychiatrists and psychologists. First thing they do is they run out to see a counselor. Now, I believe in counseling, godly counsel, amen, that is directed by the Holy Spirit. But we need to understand that God has the answer. So don't run here and run there. Run to Jesus. Go after Him. Passionately go after Him. Start shouting out His name. Call on His name. Start praising Him. Start blessing Him. Start decreeing the word of the Lord over your life. Start decreeing His promises over your life. You have the power to shift everything, to change your situation. God has delegated authority to His people on the earth. We need to take advantage because our weapons are not carnal, amen? They're not of human origin, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are powerful in God. So we need to take advantage of what God has already placed in our hands. Don't put up with it. There are believers who put up with stuff for years. You know, the enemy beating up on them, telling them they're this, telling them they're that, lying to them. We don't have to listen to him. We need to get into the Word and find out what God has to say. We're going to listen to what God says. We're going to do what God says. And God says that if you praise Him, it will bring His glory. It'll bring His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence there is liberty. There is freedom. There's deliverance. There's healing. And here, they were delivered from their enemies when they began to praise the Lord. And they said in verse 12, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. All Judah with their little ones, hello. They didn't send kids off. Go play. We're going to have church. Their wives, their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, I think I said that right, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen?
Amen.
Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Everybody say, position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You got to get into position, folks. You got to sanctify yourself. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. How many know the Lord said He would never leave you? He's already with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So I like this scripture. How many are going to follow the Word of God? How many know God's smarter than we are? We don't need to be wise in our own understanding. I know what the Bible says, but I think it's kind of like this. I think I have a better idea. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. And you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and what were they saying, folks? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And verse 22, this is what I want us to look at. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. How? Thank you, Jesus. When they began to sing and to praise, what happened? The Lord defeated the enemy. Okay, let's move up to Acts chapter 16, New Testament. Well, that was the Old Testament. Let's look in the New Testament. Paul and Silas, most of us are very familiar with this. It's one thing to know what the Word says, it's another thing to apply it. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Paul and Silas had been in prison for their witness of Jesus. And here they are at midnight, verse 25, Acts 16, verse 25. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a good alternative to complaining and belly aching, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the prisoners were listening to them. They were probably thinking, man, these guys are nuts. Here we are locked up in this rat hole. And listen to them. They're singing and praising God. And suddenly, in verse 26, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. How many know that this has spiritual application as well?
Yeah.
You want to get the chains, amen, broke off you? Start giving God praise. Start singing to the Lord. So in each case, we see praising God, the connection between praising God and His manifest presence. They're tied together. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, they continued daily, the early church, in one accord in the temple. Breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. 7, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The connection here, folks, to you and I, amen, praising God and His delivering power. God wants His people to be free. And He gave you a mouth to speak. And so we need to utilize it. And when Jesus was, again, when he was confronted by the enemy in the wilderness, he spoke audibly to the enemy and he quoted the word of God. And he had to flee. Resist him and he will flee from you. So how many are going to get a hold of this today? And maybe you're doing it already. But if not, start doing what we learn. Hallelujah. It's not enough just to hear the word. It's not enough to hear another sermon and say, that was a good sermon. It's like, what am I going to do with it now? We got to ask ourselves, am I going to just be a spectator? Or am I going to be a participant? You know, King David was known as the singing warrior. He viewed praise as an act which elevated his perspective, both above his circumstances and his enemies. So when he saw the enemy coming in, what would he do? He'd get on his harp. And he made many different instruments, but he would sing unto the Lord. He would praise God when the enemy was coming. Amen. When he was under opposition of the enemy, when there was threat of war, David would sing and praise God. And God, over and over again, brought deliverance. Hang in there. Continue to drive on. Continue to go forward. Don't let the devil beat you down. Don't let him beat you up. If you're under attack, just start praising God. He hates it. But I want to say one more thing, folks, and I want to remind you of this. Out of a pure heart, you need to praise God. You need to sanctify yourself. You need to submit yourself to God. You know why? Because there are people who will say, okay, I'm going to start praising God, but they're not obedient to the Spirit of grace. And they wonder why they're not getting the deliverance. Sometimes God is saying the reason why you're tormented is because you have unforgiveness. The reason why you're tormented is because you're refusing to obey me. There's things that God will tell us that you need to let go of so you can go forward. You need to let go of that which was so that you can receive that which is. What God is doing now. What God is offering you today. You can't live out of yesterday. You can't live out of the past. Yesterday is gone. Today is a new day. Today is a new beginning. Today we have been given an opportunity right now to say, you know what? I am repenting today. I am making up my mind. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to start practicing what I've been hearing, what I've been learning. I'm going to start calling on the name of the Lord. I'm going to start praising Him. And when God says to stop, I'm going to stop. And when He says go, I'm going to go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. Agreement with the Holy Spirit brings results. It brings fruit. I don't know about you, but I just want to bear much fruit. I want to be in the much fruit category. I don't want to be just kind of, crawling through the pearly gates, folks. Excuse the expression. But I want an abundant welcome into the kingdom. I know I want to see Jesus smile and say, oh, I know who you are. We're well acquainted. Come on in. Been expecting you. How many here are going to go with that? Are you done with yourself? Are you ready to make a commitment? I mean a real commitment to God and say, I'm going forward here. There's no turning back. There's no looking back. There's no shrinking back. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live in life because there's nothing in death that I want. My way leads to death. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it is a way of death. Amen. But God's ways are true. And so David would elevate himself above his circumstances, and by praising and worshiping and meditating on the word, amen, meditating on the Lord, he was able to lift himself up above his situation and see it from a different perspective. If we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places, how many know that gives you a little bit of an advantage? It gives you a different perspective on things. If you want to wallow, amen, down here in the mud with all the problems, that's your choice. But God says, come up higher. Seek my face. Amen. Come up with me. Come up higher. Come up into the heavenly realms with me. And you do that through worship, through praise, through thanksgiving. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and your perspective begins to change. You begin to see things through with a different perspective, from God's perspective. And God's not stressed out. God's not worried about it. We're all going to deal with problems. You're never going to totally be over your problems, folks, here in this world. How many know you get over one, there'll be another problem? But through it all, we learn to trust in Jesus. Through it all, we learn that our God is faithful. Through it all, we see that God will turn anything ugly into something beautiful. He will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Cast off the heaviness as you begin to declare His praises. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. God is greater than my circumstances. God is greater than my problems. God has the answer. God is the solution. Lose yourself in Him. All I want to do is lose myself in You. Be enveloped, be saturated, be filled with the power of God. Amen. Lean back in your arms in that place of quiet rest near the heart of God, in the secret place of the Most High. Aren't you glad we have been given the privilege and opportunity to come to God? Yeah. So praising the Lord is truly one of the most powerful weapons against the enemy. We really need to get the hold of this Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many are going to live this, practice this, apply it? Oh, yeah. See, and I asked a show of hands of how many, you know, started practicing even what we talked about last week about calling on the name of the Lord. You know, there's hands that went up and said, yeah, it's made a difference. I have had some people say that some things were broken off of me when I started just calling out to God audibly. And I got over the chicken line, got past myself. And so praise is powerful. Out of thanksgiving, we come into a place where we have a heart of praise. Because thanksgiving produces praise, because when we're thankful, we begin to appreciate God's goodness. And when we appreciate God's goodness, you just want to praise someone who's blessed you. And so don't think that you're not blessed because you're blessed more than you probably realize. I'm speaking of myself. I know I'm more blessed than I probably realize or give God the credit for. I'm sure I am. But we are a blessed people. And it keeps you in the right position to walk in thanksgiving. And in all things, we are to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ. Because thanksgiving will shift your perspective. You begin to see it as, wow, I'm really blessed. It doesn't mean everything goes my way. It just means that in the midst of it, I'm so blessed. Like Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He wasn't here just to make money, buy a house, buy a boat, and die. He was here on assignment. How many know we are here for the same reason? We're on assignment to live for the King now. We've been saved with a purpose. We are Jesus callers. We are to make Him famous in the earth. We are to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and brought us into His marvelous light. And so when we praise God, we are honoring Him with our lips. And those who honor me, the Lord says, I will honor.